Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. As always, the number to dial to get your questions answered live, as Randy just mentioned, 888-ASK, Hank, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, our resource consultants is always standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Why do we answer questions? We answer questions to demonstrate that the Christian faith corresponds to reality, that there are answers to the most basic questions concerning truth and life. And of course, as Christians, we are always to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. And you can imagine questions come in all kinds of ways, via Twitter or Facebook, certainly on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but they also pour in form of letters. And I want to start the broadcast with a letter before we go to our callers. This one touched my heart. Dear Hank, help, please. I'm a federal inmate. I'm in solitary confinement, but I've never been freer because Christ has come into my life. And thus my incarceration is a blessing in disguise because I have been able to devote 3 to 4 hours every single day, sometimes more, to reading and studying the Word of God. I'm also involved with many Bible study correspondence courses. But I have a question that I hope you can answer and maybe even read on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. After the Great White Throne Judgment, non-believers are cast into an eternity in a lake of fire. Then all heaven and earth are destroyed. And then a new heaven and earth without a sea. So my question is, what happens to those whose names were not found in the Book of Life, who were cast into the lake of fire after the first heaven and the first earth had passed away? Would that lake of fire pass away as well, along with the whole universe? I hope my question is being asked properly. Thanks for your help and input. I listen every single day to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. May God bless all your needs, your friend in Christ. Again, David, an inmate. He's in a federal prison. He's in solitary confinement. And the answer to your question, I think the question is twofold. One is the cosmos going to be annihilated? And the answer to that is no, it's going to go through metamorphosis. And two, will hell be annihilated? Again, the answer is no. To fill in the details, let me say this. With respect to the cosmos, when the Apostle Peter wrote, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness, he wasn't describing an earth altogether different from the one we now inhabit, but rather the cosmos resurrected without decay, disease, destruction, death. As the cross ultimately liberates us from death and disease, so too It is going to liberate the cosmos from destruction and decay. There's another way of saying that. The Earth will be thoroughly transformed, not totally terminated. Again, metamorphosis is a great example where a caterpillar sows the seeds of its own demise. In the chrysalis, its constituent parts devolve into this mysterious molecular mixture, and out of that comes a caterpillar, and so it will be with Earth. When a flood destroys an island, that island doesn't cease to exist, and nor will the Earth when it is renewed by fire. Another metaphor might be childbirth. Paradise lost will emerge into paradise restored. And that's how Scripture describes it, the whole creation groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. But then, like a mother, Earth will birth a new Eden in which God will wipe every tear from our eyes. In terms of annihilationism, or the annihilationism of those who do not believe, let me point out that a God of love and justice does not annihilate. Far from rubbing us out, He graciously provides us the freedom to choose between redemption and rebellion, and if we choose rebellion, continues to sustain us in existence, albeit apart from His goodness, His glory, and His grace. When understood in the light of the rest of Scripture, the language of destruction or perishing hardly supports annihilationism. In point of fact, I think it affirms eternal conscious existence. So when Paul informs us that those who do not love God or live according to His precepts, that they're going to be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power, he's hardly suggesting annihilationism. To experience everlasting destruction is to experience everlasting separation from the love and the grace of God. And to leave no doubt, Paul equates everlasting destruction with being shut out from the presence of the Lord. Jesus Christ, of course, is the ultimate authority, and He explicitly tells us that the wicked will go away to eternal punishment, just like the righteous will go to eternal life. So He's contrasting the ghastly state of eternal punishment with the glorious state of eternal life. Again, I've written about this in various places, including my latest book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, The Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. The book available, you can get your copy on the web at equip.org and bookstores everywhere. You can also order via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I do remember our resource consultants, as mentioned before, standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Doug, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Hank, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I just had a quick question. It's based on his interactions with atheists. When they start to throw, when we talk about literature and stuff like that, and it's certain just scenarios where I haven't read their literature, kind of like Richard Dawkins and the God Delusion and stuff like that. That was one of the examples. But it was kind of like we're like, well, how do you know, you know, where he's getting at when, you know, if you haven't read the book. And it's kind of where I've watched lectures, and I can kind of get the attitude of him towards Christians. But it's more of, I kind of don't know how to go about reading his material or reading material from other authors like that from a Christian standpoint without feeling that I might be sinning, I guess you can say.
Well, you're not sinning. What you want to do is always be ready to give an answer. As I was mentioning earlier, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. You're not called to force feed an atheist, but you are called to prepare yourself so that you can use the objections that the atheist raises as a springboard or an opportunity to share the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. So the real issue becomes equipping for evangelism. So you see this as a wonderful opportunity as God opens the door to share what you know to be real. And you know it to be real, not just because you have a particular predilection in a direction, but rather because what you believe conforms to reality. That's what truth is, that which conforms to reality or corresponds to reality. So you can look at the universe, and when you see the complexity of the universe, you immediately know there has to be a universe maker. If you find a basketball, you know there's a basketball maker. No matter where you find that basketball, even if you find it on a remote island, you immediately deduce there has to be a manufacturer. A universe, obviously, far more complex than a basketball. So the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. You also have the universe maker revealing himself in time and space in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So the image of the invisible God has dwelt among us. And we can know that he is God through the immutable fact of the resurrection. He had the power to lay down his life and to raise it up again, thus demonstrating that he is God. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul actually provides a four-part argument. It's worth looking at. I've written about this in a book called Resurrection, which is available through our ministry. The other thing that I think is really important is to be able to demonstrate that we have an authority to go by, and that authority is the Word of God, and it is demonstrably divine as opposed to merely human in origin. I think it's also instructive to note that there aren't a lot of options in terms of how the universe came into existence. Did it spring from nothing? Well, nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. Did it eternally exist? Of course not. The laws of science militate against such a notion. Is it merely a figment of our imagination? Doubtful. Which leaves us with only one possibility. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The option to that is that nothing creates everything. Life comes from non-life, and then the life that comes from non-life produces metaphysical realities like sex and ethics. So the alternative to creation is very dire, and some have actually, well, they've taken the shot. They've been willing to own up to the ramifications of an atheistic worldview. The best example is Alex Rosenberg. He's a professor, chair of the philosophy department at Duke University, and he wrote a book called The Atheist Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions. And in that book, he says, is there a God? Absolutely not. What is the nature of reality? What physics says it is. What is the purpose of the universe? There is no purpose, he says, to the universe. What is the meaning of life? There is no meaning to life. Is there a soul? No. Is there free will? Not a chance. What is the difference between right and wrong, good and bad? There is no moral difference between them. So what he concludes is there is no meaning to history, there's no meaning to anything we care about, and therefore, if you're going to be atheistic, you better have a good dose of Prozac. The ramifications, again, to an atheistic worldview are dire. And we have, responded to Richard Dawkins in a lot of different ways through articles in the Christian Research Journal. But one of the great resources that we featured This year is called New Atheism. It's a survival guide written by Graham Veal. Get a hold of that book and you'll find out that a lot of what you hear from the new atheists, like Richard Dawkins, are not defensible arguments, but rather dogmatic assertions. New Atheism, a survival guide available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Do remember, as I close out this segment, that this is the end of our fiscal year. It is a significant month in the history of our ministry. We are trying to eradicate a deficit, and we ask you to stand with us in that process. You can give to us in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Or when you write me, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, Resource Consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. And if you can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team quite literally turbocharges the ministry. Again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Be right back.
June is a key month for the Christian Research Institute. It determines how well we end the financial year and what our strength or weakness will be going into a new fiscal year. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI or make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. The fast-growing acceptance of same-sex marriage is comparable to a massive cultural earthquake and resulting tsunami that rearranges the social landscape. It may well be the most significant social revolution in human history. But there is also a promise. If things can change this fast in one direction, they can change just as fast in another. CRI's special offer of Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles on same-sex sexuality and transgender issues from Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will help you stand for biblical life and truth. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage book and journal special offer as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or simply visit equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In recent years, interest in superheroes has soared, driven largely by the red-hot Marvel Comics characters such as Spider-Man, Iron Man, the X-Men, and the Avengers. This cultural phenomenon suggests that Marvel's unique approach to envisioning heroism is feeding some sort of spiritual hunger. What lessons can we learn from Marvel? Other topics include when someone you love says, "I'm gay," best friends first, honoring God in dating and romance, the debate over defining inerrancy, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Truth is under siege from a vast array of militant anti-Christian secularists. But when you and others stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute, we're able to equip countless believers to join in the good fight. Soldiers are helpless without the right arms. So are key battles often won or lost based on something as simple yet crucial as supplies. Stand with the Christian Research Institute and Bible Answer Man broadcast during the key month of June to ensure that CRI's supply lines remain open. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Amy. She's a Canadian listener listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too. Love your program, by the way.
Appreciate it.
Just a quick question slash comment about Joel Osteen, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You've indicated multiple times that he is one of those prosperity preachers.
Mm-hmm.
I was just curious. I mean, his church is one of the largest in all of the United States, and it would appear as though he's starting to come into Canada as well. So if he's not necessarily preaching the right doctrine, why is it that people are so drawn to him and continue to support him in such large quantities?
Well, there's a certain mystique to a ministry that tells you that by your words you can create your own reality. It has been certainly very popular in metaphysical circles, and now it's been repackaged for Christian consumption. And what Joel Osteen has done, which has been magical in terms of growth and popularity, is he's augmented the New Thought metaphysical message with scriptural texts. But those texts, of course, are taken out of context. So he will tell people that the Bible tells you that you were to call those things that are not as though they were. Now, if you go to the Bible, you find out that the Bible says nothing of the sort. But most people don't know that he's twisted the Scripture. The Bible, of course, says it is God, not we, who calls those things that are not as though they were. He'll also use anecdotes. So he'll tell stories, and he'll tell those stories as though they're really true. So to prove generational curses, he talks about how researchers extracted white blood cells from a volunteer, placed them in a test tube, then put a probe from a lie detector machine down in that test tube, and then instructed the volunteer to watch some violent scenes from an old war movie. And even though the blood was tested in another room, he says, he got all uptight and tense, and the lie detector test shot off the page. It was detecting his emotional response, even though the blood was no longer in the body. And then he says that the United States did this experiment on all kinds of people, and eventually he uses that as his pretext for generational curses. Or he'll say that thoughts create reality. He tells the story of a yard man named Nick, and he says that Nick caused his own death through a series of negative confessions. He was found frozen to death in moderate temperatures in an unrefrigerated boxcar, but he thought that the boxcar was refrigerated, and therefore, when they found Nick, he was frozen to death in slightly less than normal room temperatures, again, because he believed he was freezing to death in a boxcar. So he weaves these stories. He spins legends about bees dying in outer space because of a failure to use their wings, or monkeys captured with their hands in the proverbial banana bin, but all the time as he's spinning the stories, truth is the casualty, and that is consistent. It is a perversion of scriptural truth. It is a perversion of truth in general by buttressing urban legends. But the worst part of it all is that people do not see that there's a dark underbelly to what he is teaching. On the one hand, he promotes that if you say the right things, you can have anything that your heart desires, perfect health and perfect wealth. And that, of course, is very intoxicating to people. But he also says this, which is very damning for people. He will say that if a baby dies, that your thoughts created that reality. If you're a paraplegic, he feels total liberty to mock the paraplegic because that paraplegic is in a wheelchair because thoughts created their reality. If they just changed their thinking, they'd be able to get up out of that wheelchair. He goes so far, believe it or not, of mocking a paraplegic in Scripture. So, you know, yeah, popular because people, they sort of fixate on the upside as opposed to the downside, but he does make that downside crystal clear in his books, in his tapes, in his lectures. You know, people seem to be exhilarated by the upside and therefore not as concerned about the downside. But here's what happens. You see the masses coming in the front door of the auditorium, but you don't see those that fall out the back door. Maybe their wife contracted cancer or their baby died, and now they think that their words created that reality. So, yeah, he says it's a spiritual principle and it works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. We see the people on the positive side flooding in the front door. Again, we don't see them falling out the back door.
Fair enough. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
You are entirely welcome. I've written a book called The Austenification of American Christianity, and I coined the word austenification because he is quite simply the biggest of the bunch, as alluded to by Amy. There are a host of pretenders following in his train, but according to People magazine, twice as big as the nearest competitor, but nonetheless the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of American Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends, which beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but because of what is on the Master's table. So what you have here is the glory of the cross transposed to the glory of consumerism. It's a fast food Christianity. It's long on looks, dreadfully short on substance. The triumph of technique over theology, style over substance, the preeminence of psychobabble over precept and principle. In short, Joel Osteen is the de facto high priest of a new brand of Christianity perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. A number of resources. I wrote the book, The Austenification of American Christianity. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Didn't publish it through a publisher, only available for those who consume the broadcast and the ministries of the Christian Research Institute and our outreaches around the world. You can also get it on a download on the web at equip.org, CD format, and you can get them in quantities so you can give them out because what he is communicating is decidedly deadly, and all the more so because he's put such a glowing face on it that people cannot see that this is the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Terry. Terry's in New York. Welcome to the broadcast.
What's going on, my brother? How you doing, McHagg?
Good to talk to you, Terry.
Brother, let me ask you a question. Okay, we know that when Jesus says that the Father knows in heaven the day and the time, he's basically referring to his human side, right? The human man, right?
Yes.
Now my question is, when he said that, at the time that he said that, the Holy Spirit was fully divine. So was Jesus not mentioning the Spirit on purpose? Did he, or is there a reason for that? And the second part of the question is, does the Holy Spirit and Jesus at this present time know the date and the time?
Well, of course they do. And you know, Jesus is giving us categories. He's saying no one knows about that day or hour. Angels don't know. Humans don't know. Only God knows. So Jesus is, as you have so wonderfully deduced, he is speaking from the perspective of his humanity. Remember that Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but rather made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So what Philippians is saying, the book of Philippians written by Paul, is that Jesus set aside the prerogative for independently using his divine attributes. But again, you alluded to this, he's one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. In this case, he is voluntarily limiting the perspective or prerogatives of divinity. But in the actual place he says this, he's talking about categories of beings. Angels don't know, humans don't know, only God knows. That's the point.
Now, the Holy Spirit, well, then that means that at the time Jesus says that, the Holy Spirit was well aware of the date and the time.
Well, of course, God always knows. God knows the beginning from the end, and certainly when Jesus was prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem, he was talking about a generation, but he was saying that the time and the exact date of that destruction could not be known to anyone but to God. In fact, many people did not even take the prophecy of Jesus Christ seriously. He said, do not be amazed at this. In fact, not a single word, nothing that I say is going to fail to happen. In fact, he says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. And then to add emphasis, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Of course, a lot of skeptics grab on to this and say, well, Jesus did not know the time of his second coming. In fact, Jesus thought that his second coming would happen within a generation. Such skeptics obviously fail to understand the language of Scripture. Jesus is using the language of the Old Testament prophets when they talked about the destruction of nations and is now applying it to the destruction of Jerusalem. So the skeptics oftentimes don't know how silly they are. They don't realize that Jesus is the heir to the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets and a far greater prophet than them all, again, using the language of the prophets and applying it to the destruction of Jerusalem. And of course, Jerusalem was destroyed precisely as Jesus said it would be, and within a generation. So Jesus prophesied that which would happen within a generation, just like Daniel prophesied that which would happen in the period of 400s of years, a succession of nations culminating in the Old Testament Antichrist. So yeah, the beauty of Scripture is that you cannot pawn off these kinds of things to good guessing, luck, or common sense, only to the fact that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Be right back with more answers to your questions, so please stay tuned for that.
More than half of Christian Research Institute donors make only one gift each year to CRI. If each of those donors made only one more gift to CRI this month, it would mean an additional $926,577 to equip those who look to us daily for help. An absolute game changer. Please call 888-7000-CRI to make a gift of support. That's 888-7000-CRI, or you can give online at equip.org.
That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. As homosexuality becomes accepted within the culture, more Christian families are hearing a loved one say, "I'm gay, I've accepted it, I intend to live it out." Joe Dallas offers scriptural and compassionate counsel for dealing with the many questions and strong emotions that arise from this perplexing and unexpected situation. Other topics include the gospel according to Marvel Comics, Buddhism through the filter of Sam Harris, witnessing to the messianic fulfillment of the Day of Atonement, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West. And slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. The Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. The Nazis initially appeared to be the likely conquerors, but Soviets, mustering courage and resolve, emerged victorious. Truth is, both men and materials played a crucial role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. The Christian Research Institute likewise needs people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with us during this key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to the phone lines, we'll talk next to Michael. He's listening in Raleigh, North Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for your program.
You're welcome.
I recently was emailed a link to a Rick Wiles interview. It was a two-part interview. And his claims have really, I wouldn't say they've shaken my faith, but they're very disturbing. And I know you may have addressed his ministry before, but I sure would appreciate if you could weigh in on this. What he is saying to people, and I'll be very happy to listen to your response off the air. Thank you so much.
You got it. Ironically, just answered a question on Rick Wiles on yesterday's broadcast. We haven't done exhaustive research on his ministry, but enough research to know that there are some serious red flags. He claims to be the end-time newsman, and the only newscast, there's only one of one, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's a very debatable fact in and of itself. There are a lot of sensationalists and sophists doing that. He applies newspaper eschatology. For example, he endorses the four blood moons as omens of a future world-shaking event. And by the way, he gets this kind of stuff from people like John Hagee, who enacts the role of a stage magician. He performs a kind of shell game in which one event after the other is presented as though it's the event that's going to signify the end of all things. And it is likely that many who listen to people like this will continue to fall for this kind of hucksterism. Because in order to succeed in the predictions, all that is required is some significant event to occur in a given period of time involving the state of Israel. And given the perpetual turmoil in the Middle East, they've practically set the bar of evidence so low to guarantee that no matter what happens, they're going to receive a passing grade. So newspaper eschatology, the four blood moons, this kind of thing is sad, but it is the kind of sophistry that Rick Wiles has been promoting for years, even before the likes of John Hagee start to popularize this in books and the like. But yeah, as you allude to in the prologue to your question, he thinks America is toast. It's too late for America. He predicts a major financial collapse. Well, I mean, look, how many financial collapses have we had? I mean, if you're going to predict that, eventually you're going to be right, because there are ebbs and flows in history. And yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot of reason to believe that we're in dire trouble, but to act as though he knows things that nobody else knows on the basis of very spurious reading things into Scripture rather than taking out of Scripture what the Holy Spirit has placed in Scripture. I mean, there are a lot of other examples that could be given. For example, he promotes near-death experiences. He promotes Bill Weiss's 23 Minutes in Hell. I don't know if you know much about that, but Bill Weiss became a New York Times best-selling author. I wrote about him in the book Afterlife, and he claims that unlike the Apostle Paul, who didn't know whether he was in the body or apart from the body, that God had revealed to Bill that his 23 minutes involved a bona fide out-of-body experience. And there in hell, he uncovered a wealth of extra-biblical information, including temperature. It was 300 degrees. He also discovered that hell has zero humidity, that hell is located in the center of the earth, that in hell there are reptilian-looking demons, some of whom are 15 feet tall, and they rule over and torture humans. There are rats the size of dogs and snakes, as big as trains, and all kinds of other nonsense. By the way, I mean, you know what's nonsense immediately when you realize that demons are ruling over humans in hell. There's no biblical basis for that. Hell was designed for demons, and the idea that they're going to be the gatekeepers in hell, there's simply no biblical warrant for this. So this is extra-biblical information, and these kinds of new revelations are captivating the minds of millions of evangelicals because they don't see the significant liabilities. The objective reference point to sacred scripture has been now supplanted by the subjective experiences of those who have allegedly had a foretaste of heaven or hell. And of course, there's the very real issue of apostolic authority. God himself set the conditions by which new revelations have to be ratified, namely confirmation by those who were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Point of fact, while the death of the apostles is a significant event, one of the most significant aspects of that event when the apostles finally died out is there can be no new revelations, much less new revelations that compromise, confuse, or outright contradict the faith once for all delivered to the saints. The quintessential test case, of course, was always the Apostle Paul. The apostolic community validated him as an eyewitness to the resurrection and as an apostle, and therefore revelation revealed through Paul, unlike revelations received through people like Bill Weiss, could be deemed reliable and binding on the body of Christ. So I've written about near-death experiences and people like Bill Weiss in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. There are six chapters on near-death experiences because it is a cottage industry now, particularly in the Christian world. The book available again through the Christian Research Institute. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Christine, another Canadian listener, Red Deer, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Hank. It's CJCA, but that's fine.
Oh, CJCA? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. just a prequel. Just quickly just to bring maybe some of your listeners, I called you in October, and the prequel to your message or your beginning of the show that day was regarding forgiveness, and I called you regarding my neighbor who had taken my cat and dumped her off.
Oh, yeah,
the
I remember that.
City.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that?
I do.
Yeah, and so what happened, Hank, and I know someone in your listening audience was praying, maybe one or two animal lovers, but she was gone for 3.5 weeks, and we put an ad in the paper, and I did forgive the gentleman who did this. He asked, but, you know, he said he was sorry when we kind of went and visited with him, and I forgave him and shook his hand, and was really quite disappointed still. But anyway, she fell into the arms or walked into the arms of angels about 3 miles outside of the city, and she was there for 3.5 weeks, and she or 3 weeks, and she was missing for 3.5, and it was a wonderful answer to prayer that she's back home with us.
Mm.
So, anyway, thank you, whoever prayed.
I bet you a lot of people prayed that day.
Yeah, it was a tough day. You know, Hank, I have a dear friend, and she's in the faith movement. And yesterday she just kind of announced to me there's a new young man on TV that's prophesying. And she saw him prophesy, and she saw him kind of tell people their addresses and their names and things about their lives, of course. And one of the ladies, I guess, her husband had passed away, and in the casket they put her picture and her name on the picture. And the prophet said that the reason basically she wasn't being blessed is because her name was in the ground. And when he released that and brought her name out of the ground, she was okay. And because I listened to you, my first question to my friend was, where did he get that scripturally? How does he back that up? I remember, she said, I don't know. And I remember you saying something about people who prophesied, they're not fortune tellers. They're not to be fortune tellers, they're forth tellers.
Yes.
Can you explain that to me again?
Yeah. So, you know, certainly there were prophets in Scripture, and those prophets and apostles are commended by their prophecies. In other words, their prophecies came to pass exactly as they had prophesied events. And of course, God says that I told you these things through the mouth of apostles and prophets, of course, before they happen, so that when they happen, you might believe. So the Bible is self-authenticating through the words of the apostles and the prophets. But in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we see prophecy being described as strengthening, building up the body of Christ, edifying, encouraging, exhorting, equipping the saints. So it's not foretelling the future, it is forthtelling. Forthtelling in terms of strengthening and encouraging and equipping and the like. So when we see the Bible authenticated, there's a purpose for those prophecies, but for the general course of a human's life, God doesn't reveal what's going to happen, and he does that because he's a loving God. If we knew everything that was going to happen in the future, we would not be able to face the future. So God gives us the grace that we need when we need it, and oftentimes not a moment before. And you allude to this in the prologue to your question, but the prophetic words of Scripture expose today's pretenders. Not only do they fail the biblical tests given in Deuteronomy 13 and 18, as well as Acts chapter 1, but what they do is they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of depravity. Now, the kind of thing that they do is done in different ways. Some will remember Peter Popoff. He was very famous, but his wife would interview people, and he'd have an earbud in his ear, and she'd be communicating with him, and he would walk up to a lady and say, "You know, the Lord's revealing to me that you live at 1304 Emerald Lane," you know, and she'd just be amazed that he could know such a thing. Other people do it through what's called cold reading, but one thing is for certain, these are hucksters, and the Bible exposes the pretenders, and yeah, you're right, asking all the right questions. The right question is, where do you get this from? Where's your biblical basis? That's the operative question. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back here tomorrow, same place, same time. So please tune in then. You can call in your question when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. And in the meantime, pray and support the ministry as you can.
Thank you for joining us today. June is one of the most important months for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's because we close out another financial year, and we can do so successfully only if listening friends like you stand with us prayerfully and financially. With your gift, you'll help CRI impact even more lives with God's truth and equip Christians as authentic disciples of Christ. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In recent years, interest in superheroes has soared, driven largely by the red-hot Marvel Comics characters such as Spider-Man, Iron Man, the X-Men, and the Avengers. This cultural phenomenon suggests that Marvel's unique approach to envisioning heroism is feeding some sort of spiritual hunger. What lessons can we learn from Marvel? Other topics include when someone you love says, "I'm gay," best friends first, honoring God in dating and romance, the debate over defining inerrancy, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission.
Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.